title of my message this morning is Being Planted in the House. Being Planted in the House. What I would like us to do, I'd like the guys to flick up there the scripture. I would like us all to stand as we read this scripture together. The righteous, come on all together. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of Jehovah. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and green. To show that Jehovah is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. Please be seated. The ministry that we're going to receive over these next couple of weeks will form the basis of a new partnership agreement or a new membership agreement that every one of us here will have the opportunity to recommit ourselves to. And so these two teaching sessions, this week and next week, are a requirement really for you to have listened to and heard and understand what we are really talking about when we're talking about partnership and an agreement together to move forward in God. This partnership covenant has, at its heart really, two main building blocks. The first one is belonging, that I'll be dealing with this week. The second one that Luke will be dealing with next week is contributing. And so this morning we're going to look at belonging. Our Christian life, friends, it involves belonging as well as believing. We need to belong as well as believe. The early church had this sense of belonging right at its core. The believers had a tremendous sense of belonging together. Belonging together in the church where God had planted them. We read words like, they were together. They were with one accord. They had one heart and one mind. And the glue that held all their belonging together was love. Not a wishy-washy kind of love, but a love that the Word of God talks about that is an agape love. Behold how they loved one another. No wonder, friends, the early church grew and multiplied. Jesus said it would. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And let me tell you, this was something that was birthed in the early church that had never ever been seen before in the world. That's what made the church different. There was a tremendous sense of love for each other. There was not an organization on earth that had ever had a love like this at its core, at its heart. And I want to tell you, it was attractive. People were added to the church simply because they saw the love amongst the body of believers. This was the 1 Corinthians 13 love, the agape love, the love that was long-suffering. It was love that was kind. It was love that wasn't envious of each other. It didn't promote itself, and it wasn't proud. It wasn't rude. It wasn't self-seeking. It wasn't easily provoked. People would get up people's noses, but this love that they had wasn't easily provoked. It didn't think any type of evil. It didn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoiced in the truth. It bared all things. It believed all things. It hoped all things. It endured all things. It was love that never fails. And this was at the heart of the early church. And I want to say, friends, this morning, right at the commencement, it is our heart as a leadership. And I know it's God's heart for this love to be emulated here amongst us as a body of believers. We don't want a wishy-washy kind of love. We want love that honors one another. It blesses one another, doesn't speak evil of one another. Love that cherishes one another and encourages one another and builds one another up. This is the type of love that we are seeking to emulate that those first century believers had. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And we want to see that love in operation here in New Life. Let me say, friends, that biblical membership or partnership, whatever word you want to use, is nothing new. We've just got to look into the Acts of the Apostles and we see it right there in the early church. Let me say something this morning, what biblical partnership or membership is not. Because it's important to know what it's not. And this is not what we're getting at. First of all, friends, it's not a club or a society that you belong to where you pay your dues and you expect a service. That is not biblical membership. It is more than institutionalism or belonging to an establishment. An institution is an organization that is set up to provide an to promote an ideal. Friends, we are not here primarily to promote our fellowship or our church. We are here to promote the King. Amen. To lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the builder of his church. We want him to become famous. Amen? We won't want the name of the church or the church. We want Jesus. He must take preeminence in all things. Hallelujah. We are here, friends, out of love and devotion to God to see his kingdom established in the hearts of men and women who don't know him. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a political party, or it's not like a political party or any kind of democracy where a meeting is called and everybody has their say. Hence the old AGMs were like that, where a meeting was called once a year and everybody could have their say. That's why the Bible says the Lord sets leaders in the church to lead and to guide the people of God. Major decisions are made by God-appointed leaders who the Bible says will give a double account. So you'll give an account of yourself, we will give a double account. The Church of Jesus Christ will never function biblically, correctly, and effectively without God-appointed leaders. That's why we read in the New Testament that God appointed leaders, elders, in every church. They were appointed. Friends, there's always a New Testament. Whenever you read about leaders in the New Testament, it was never a one-man band. There was always a plurality of elders who were appointed. You never had one man doing it all on his own, leading the whole congregation. It was always done by a number of elders who were appointed in every church. They were appointed to govern, to teach, and to preach. Can I say this morning, being part of a local church is a biblical concept. We find it right there rooted in the scriptures. The Bible clearly teaches that believers are not to function in isolation, but in a committed relationship to a local body of believers. God's word says we are to consider our calling. Consider your calling, brethren. Well, we've got to consider our calling in God. And friends, our calling, your calling as a child of God, is not to live on your own, but to be part of a body. Not to be isolated, but to be joined to a body. We're living in an age where there are so many extremes in church life. Extremes. Friends, we are living in an age where the word of God is being compromised. And anything goes. Personal prophecies are given here, there, and everywhere. And people go out on a limb on a personal prophecy without taking any consideration what the word of God says. The Bible says there'll come days in the last days when people will not endure sound doctrine. But they'll have itching ears. They'll go and listen to what they want to hear, not what they should be hearing. And when you begin to preach sound doctrine, some people don't like it and say you're too harsh. But we are called to preach the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. We are living in a day when some places the Bible is never opened. And all you have is a few little leadership thoughts or lifestyle thoughts. Friends, we get our food from the Word of God. And the Bible has always got to be central. But these are some of the extremes that we find ourselves living in. We find ourselves living in a day where it's called heavy shepherding. That's an extreme. Friends, God never wanted heavy shepherding. That places restrictions upon believers, that put heavy burdens on individuals and families. I want to say, friends, that is not our intention here at New Life. We are called to release the people and not to restrict the people. We are called to let the people go that they might serve the Lord. We don't want to put heavy burdens on people. We want to release every single one of you folks here at New Life to be and to do what God has called you to do. The title of this message this morning is Being Planted in the House. And here in these scriptures that we read together, the psalmist is talking about believers who are, he's painting a picture of believers who are flourishing and they're growing. There is life taking place. I want to say, friends, it's God's will for every believer to grow and to flourish. Let me say this morning for every one of us here, it is the will of God for you to grow and to flourish as a Christian. When we are first born again, the Bible calls us children. It says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we might grow thereby. And so, no matter what age a person comes to faith in Christ, they begin as a babe in Christ. A babe in Christ. But friends, God wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He doesn't want us to stop baby Christians all of our lives. He wants us to grow up in Christ. He wants us to become mature believers. Paul mentions this to the church at Colossae in chapter 1 and verse 28 when he says, "We whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." What he was meaning, that we may present mature believers. That's what that word perfect means. It means mature. That we may present mature believers in Christ Jesus. That's why the fivefold ministry gift was placed in the church. The ministry gift of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher. These fivefold ministry gifts God gave to the church. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, it is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You see, friends, children, spiritual children, can be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They don't know what's right from what's wrong. And they'll go here, there, and everywhere. Paul says it is the purpose of every leader to sow the word of God into a Christian's life, that they become mature, so that they're not blown around all over the place, that they've got their roots established in God. Can I say, friends, it is the work of the spiritual leaders that God has placed in this church to bring every single one of us who are here to a place of maturity, to a place where we can grow and flourish in the courts of the Lord. Hallelujah. In verse 13, it speaks of those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Here again, it's talking about growth and development, will flourish in the courts of our God. Let me ask you a question, which really I want to base what I want to say this morning. And the question is this: has God planted you in this house? Has God planted you in this local expression of the body of Christ here in New Life? You're the only one who can answer that. And I pray that by the time we finish, you'll be able to answer it. Because it's an important thing that you know it. God is referred to in Scripture as a gardener. John 15 verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Friends, He is the one who plants men and women into the church. He is the one who adds to the church. One sows, another waters, but it's always God who adds and gives increase. John Bevere said this: you don't choose which church you go to, God does. Let me say that again. You don't choose which church you go to, God does. That's why you can't join a church. It is the Lord who adds to the church those who are being saved. The Lord plants people in His church. Can I say, friends, being part of a healthy church is essential if you are going to grow and flourish. You will never flourish unless you are part of a healthy church. You can't flourish, you can't grow unless you're planted. God has a great purpose for every believer. Being part of a local church, I want to say, it is right at the top of God's will for every Christian. Do you know the most important thing that you could ever decide on? It's to give your life to Jesus Christ. That is the most important decision that you'll ever make in life. Do you know what the second one is? It's to be established in a local church and to know that you have been planted there by God. That is the second most important thing that you could ever come to realize. Being planted in a local church and being established there by God. God has created the church to meet mankind's five deepest needs. And all mankind have got these needs. And God has created this organism called the church to meet these deepest needs in mankind. First of all, friends, it gives us a purpose to live for. Secondly, it gives us people to live with. It gives us, thirdly, principles to live by. Fourthly, it gives us a profession to live out. And it gives us power to live on. Hallelujah. There is no other place on earth where you can find all five of these benefits in one place than this wonderful thing called the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's a place where we worship together and it helps us focus on God. It's a place where our fellowship together helps us to face life's problems as they come along. Thank God we're not on our own. It's a place where discipleship helps us to fortify our faith in God. Where ministry, where we're released to ministry, helps us to find our talents and our abilities that God has given to every person. And finally, evangelism helps us to fulfill our mission. The reason why we're here, amen, is to do what Jesus did. To go with the glorious good news of the gospel. Friends, there is nothing on earth like the church that we've been added to. Nothing on earth. The church of the living God. It is God who plants us in a local body so that his purposes can be worked out in our lives. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 says, "We become the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Hallelujah. It's good to remind ourselves where we've come from. Steve talked about the greatest decision when we sang that song, Amazing Grace. Friends, we haven't always been in the church. In fact, none of us here were in the church at one time. We were lost. We were without hope. We were without God. We were in a place of darkness, of death, of destitution, a place of barrenness, a place where it was gloom and doom and despondency. But isn't it marvelous? God, who is rich in mercy, by his great love wherewith he loved us, he has translated us, he has lifted us up out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. That word translated, it could be transplanted. It's the same. It means moving from one place to another. Friends, God has got hold of your life. He's got hold of my life. And he's lifted us out of one place. And he's put us in another. Hallelujah. And it's called the church. The church of the living God. The church of Jesus Christ, belonging to him and to his body. Hallelujah. We've been joined to a body. Amen. We are heirs with the Son. Glory to God. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." God wants us to be fruitful. Amen. Every one of us, he wants to be fruitful. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us, friends, to be full of his life. That is the purposes of God. And isn't it marvelous? Age doesn't come into this. We read there, didn't we? They shall still bear fruit, when? In old age. So if you consider yourself old, then you'll still be bearing fruit. If you're planted. Because if you're planted, you'll flourish in the courts of God. Whenever a child is born, he or she automatically becomes part of the universal family of humankind, human beings. But that child that is born into this world also needs to become a member of a specific family in order to receive nurture and care and to grow up healthy and strong. Friends, the same is true spiritually. When we are born again, we automatically become part of the God's universal family. Hallelujah. We've got brothers and sisters all over the world, in every nation. We become part of this great universal body of Christ. But we also need to become a member of a local expression of God's family. And you know the good thing? We wouldn't be at a loss to find an expression of the family of God here in the Tees Valley. Do you know there are hundreds of them? Hundreds of them. 8 or 9 of them here in this town. Middlesbrough. Scores of them. Stockton, scores of them. Wherever you look, you'll find an expression of the body of Christ. If you take it further afield, not only will you find hundreds, you'll find thousands in the northeast. You could have been anywhere this morning. You really could. You could have been in any one local expression of the body of Christ. But the fact is, we're sitting here. We're here. And if you're not a visitor who comes, the chances are, this is not a visitor, if you're here as a visitor, thank God you're here, and you're only a stranger once. But for most of us, we are here every week. We come every single week. When we come into church, we're directed here. Now, for some of us, this is the only place that we've known. Some of us, this is the only expression of the body of Christ we have known. I think of the Cornforth family. Ian and Emma and Julie and Doreen. You know, this is the only church that they were born again here. They've been nowhere else. Others of you here this morning, you've been nowhere else. You were born into this place and you don't know what it is for another expression of the body of Christ. You've been planted here. Some of us, we've come from other churches. And this is not the first expression of the body of Christ we've been in. We've come from other places. We've known what it is to belong to another church. And for whatever reason, we left that church and we decided to come here. 37 years ago, I left an expression of the body of Christ in Bishop Auckland. And the reason I left that expression of the body of Christ was to come here to take on the work of the pastorate here in Billingham. And so this church has been my spiritual home for 37 years. The place where God has planted me. And I want to say, friends, unless God tells me to go somewhere else, I'm here for the long haul. I'm here until the coffin comes and they carry me out. This is my spiritual home. This is the place where I know God planted me. So we wouldn't be at a loss to find an expression of the body of Christ. You know, friends, some people, I really want to be honest here, they leave churches for all kinds of reasons. And I am convinced that the majority of people who leave churches, it's not God uprooting them to transplant them somewhere else. Can we just just settle the movement down. We're starting to move around a bit. Bob, can you close that door, please? Thanks. I am convinced that it is not God who is transplanting them somewhere else. Let's be honest, friends. The main reason people leave churches is because usually they've got upset with somebody. Or somebody's upset them. Or they can't get along with somebody. This is a principle that the vast majority of believers need to get hold of. Can I say, church, we need to get hold of it this morning. We need to learn something here. Of course, there are times when God does move people on. Every person that I talk to who moves church, the first thing they'll tell me, God has told me. It's God. I'm convinced that the majority of the time it isn't God at all. Because when you get to the root of why they've moved on, it's not God. It's for all the kinds of reasons I've just outlined. But God sometimes does move people on. Friends, God cares for his children. God cares for every single person that belongs to him. And listen, if a person is in a fellowship where they are not growing and they're not flourishing, where they're not receiving what God wants them to receive, and it's not their fault, they're wanting, let me tell you, God will take them somewhere else where they can grow. God will put them in green pastures somewhere else where they can flourish. If their ministry's been stifled, then God will take them to a place where their ministry can function and grow and develop. So sometimes God does move people on. But I am absolutely convinced that, friends, God doesn't move all the people on who say God has moved them on. You see, when you are transplanting something, it's done very carefully. I'm not a gardener, but I know if you transplant a plant, you've got to do it with care. You don't yank it up and plonk it down somewhere else. It's done with care and precision. Friends, God is not ruthless when he takes somebody to somewhere else. I found this, friends, and it's good to remember this, that if God is going to move us on, do it in the right way. Do it God's way. You see, there is a spirit of the age that's crept into the church of Jesus Christ. And so people just up, and we don't see them for weeks, perhaps, or months. And we inquire where they are and find that they've gone somewhere else. Not a goodbye. Not an explanation. Which one of us would leave our earthly family like that, eh? Would just uproot and go somewhere else without any explanation or a text message saying they've gone. Or an email. Friends, that is not the way God does it, I'm sorry. If God is going to move us on, there would be a right way and a biblical way to do it. We would love as leadership to pray with people who feel as though God is moving them on. To do it in the right way, to send them out with the blessing of God, thanking God for the contribution that they've made here, and sending them out with the blessing of God. But sometimes we are denied that privilege and that opportunity. You see, friends, it beggars the belief of where people's mindsets are. It beggars the belief of what it really means to be part of the body of Christ. Let me say, belonging to the church has become far too casual. It wasn't like that in the early church. It's become far too casual. This is one of the reasons that we are reintroducing this whole partnership here at New Life. It's because we realize how vital it is. and the importance that God places on it. Let me say it again. The greatest decision you can ever make is to be born again. The second greatest decision is to know that you have been planted by God in a local congregation of his people where you can grow and flourish. Do you know that? Have you got that realization this morning in your heart that God has planted you in this house? And you know why God has planted you here. It's not just to come and fill up a seat. It's so that you might grow and you might flourish in the courts of God. That you might thrive and prosper. That's what that word flourish means. It means to be at the peak of your condition. To be healthy. To become all that God has purposed for you to be in your life. Even in old age, it never stops. Have you got that assurance this morning? I didn't join New Life Church. God has planted me here. Let me say, friends, when you know that, you will be in it for the long haul. You'll be in it through thick and thin. You'll be in it in the good times and in the bad times. The thought of going elsewhere will not be entertained because you know that God has planted you. Friends, let me say something. You expect that this man and the other leadership have been called by God to be here. I know Luke has got a tremendous sense of calling that this is where God wanted him to be. Can I say every one of us should have the same sense of calling? Every one of us here. We should know, like Luke knew, that God has called us here. I knew 37 years ago that God had called me here. That's never left me. And every one of us should have the same. It's not just about going to a church. It's having the call of God. That God says we've got to consider our calling. To make our calling and election sure. And he's planted us here for a purpose. You are not just here to fill a seat. God has planted you here for a purpose. And next week we'll hear about that. As Luke talks about contributing. We're talking this morning about belonging. We are here because we don't just feel like being here, or because we fit in, or because we like the ministry from the front, or because we like the singing, or because we like the people. Let me tell you, sometimes you're not going to like the people. Sometimes you're not going to like the ministry. There are sometimes the things that you like, you're not going to like anymore. But you are here because God has called you here. Called us together for such a time as this. Those who God calls together, he's committed to keep together. Let me say, when life gets difficult in church life, or should I say, it's not if, it's when. Because church life sometimes going to get difficult. He will help us. He'll help us to sort out relationships. He'll help us, friends, to have our hurts healed. And he'll give us the will to forgive. When we know God's call to be in the fellowship, then we can trust each other to stay. This is our spiritual home. This is where we have been planted by the Lord. Even when there are disagreements. Even when there is confrontation. Even when there is sometimes discipline. A sense of God's call will keep us anchored. It will stop us from drifting. It's very unlikely that you will ever find a church that at some time you don't feel like running away from. Very unlikely. Have you heard of the perfect church? Well, it doesn't exist. Because the minute you find it and join it, you'll spoil it. Friends, the perfect church doesn't exist. There is no such thing as the perfect church. When you have a sense of calling that God has planted you in this house, let me say, it will make all the difference. The difference between being a church attender and a church member or partner is a word that people don't like to use now. It's called commitment. And with that commitment comes responsibility. Attenders are spectators from the sidelines. Members get involved in the ministry. Attenders are consumers. Members are contributors. Attenders want the benefits of a church without ever sharing the responsibility. Like couples who live together without wanting to be married. That is why it's important to become a partner or a member of a local church. It proves that you are committed to your brothers and sisters in reality and not just in theory. And next week, when we are asked to, you've all had a copy, or you should have had, they're available, of a membership covenant, what it really means to be partners with each other. When we come to sign that next week, we're really saying that we are committed to one another in love. Friends, God wants us to love real people, warts and all. We are required by the Lord Himself to love one another. We are called to love imperfect people, just as God loved us, with unconditional agape love. I'm finishing. The Christian life is not just a commitment to Christ. It includes a commitment to other Christians. God has called us to belong, not just to believe. Today's culture of independent individualism, it's created many spiritual orphans. I call them bunny believers, who hop around from one church to another without any identity, without any accountability or commitment. As far as the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned, the local church, God wants us to be settlers. As far as the kingdom of God is concerned that we are to pursue, God wants us to be pilgrims. There are many believers who believe that you can be a good Christian without joining or even attending a local church. Friends, just a study of the Word of God would completely disagree with that concept. The Bible offers many compelling reasons for being committed and active in a local church. The Bible says a Christian without a church home is like an organ, a human organ without a body. It's like a sheep without a flock, a child without a family. In modern terms, it's like being a footballer without a team, a soldier without a regiment. In other words, it's an unnatural state. And that is not God's intention. He has called us together as a body. So the question is, do you know that you've been planted in this house? Do you know? My prayer this morning that this ministry will have helped us to see its importance, vital importance of being planted in the house. Guys, could you put that scripture on again? Thank you. Let's stand. Let's read it together again. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of Jehovah. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and green, to show that Jehovah is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Hallelujah. Let's keep on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful thing, friends, to realize that God has transplanted us. There was a day when he got hold of our lives and he lifted us out of, into, hallelujah, out of out of darkness into his light, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Hallelujah. And friends, he has placed us in his body. You are my brothers and you are my sisters. And although we won't agree all of the time, and at times we'll get on each other's nerves, let me tell you, he's called us to love one another. Hallelujah. He's called us to serve one another. He's called us to be together in mission as we reach out into this Tees Valley to touch people with the love of God. Here in the Northeast, God wants our influence to grow. In Stockton, in Middlesbrough, in Hartlepool, in Seton Carew, in Peterlee, God wants our influence to grow. Hallelujah. He wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And he does it through ordinary people like you and me. Hallelujah. God, use us, we pray. Take hold of us as a body, Lord. Take hold of us and use us for the glory and the extension of your kingdom. Blessed be your name.